this week's show.
I saved the expense. No, the expanse. I saved the expanse. Shit, you probably would have saved a bit of money if I'd have done the other.
We talk about Deadpool 2.
Oh, I shit my pants.
Actually, that may have been me.
And I went to watch Solo.
You mean Soylo, you soy boy?
Soy boy. Stay tuned.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geeks, space aliens, SJW droids, people who have saved the expanse,
yay!
Jeff Bezos, and others. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. And can I get a quick hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
I was going to cut it in, but yeah, we'll accept your hallelujah. The expanse, it's been saved. We're going to talk about that in a moment, because a lot of stuff went on, and I've been just harassing my friends and family on Facebook with Save the Expanse, and all my friends on Twitter with Save the Expanse, so I need to see where that's going. So we're going to talk about Saving the Expanse, and the Expanse, because the last two episodes, I think, have been absolutely fucking brilliant. We're going to talk about the Expanse, Deadpool. Keith's going to talk about Soylo, a Soy Wars story.
You haven't introed me yet. You're a crappy host, you are.
I thought Keith introed himself with his hallelujah. I was going to wait until I'd gone through the thing and then introduce you and then explain what's happening with the podcast. So we're going to talk about Solo, and then Nigel's going to talk about Into the Badlands. Now, it's a bit of an odd one because the recording is being a bit disjointed. So with me here in the studio, as he's already fucking introduced himself because he couldn't wait, it's Keith.
Hello.
And what I'm going to do now, yeah, is I'm going to go, it's Nigel. And Nigel's going to go, hello. So, Nigel's not here. But Nigel wants to talk about Into the Badlands because he caught up on it. And he's going to do his sales pitch to me and to you to see if Into the Badlands worth watching. I haven't started watching it because I've been busy trying to save the expanse. I was flying a plane during the week on Tuesday over the Amazon headquarters with Save the Expense written on it for 2 hours until Thomas told me, and then I had to go back up and get the Save the Expanse banner.
Save the Expanse.
So, the the Expanse, yeah, is the best science fiction TV show. Actually, according to George R. R. Martin, it's the best show on TV at the moment.
I would pretty much agree with that, yeah.
And this is the guy who does Game of Thrones, who everyone can't stop
fucking talking. He doesn't do Game of Thrones because he's taken 7 years to write a single fucking book. You fat Father Christmas lookalike wanker. I've given up. I'm not. I now refuse to buy any more of the books. He's taken so fucking long to bring out this next book. Fuck it. I'm not giving you any more of my money. Fuck you.
I think James S.A. Corey or Ty Frank, and I can't remember the other guy's name, have done four in the space of that.
Yeah, they have. There's one every year.
Yeah. So
since 2010 was the first, was Lothion.
Leviathan Awakes.
Or was it 2011?
I can't remember. All I know is they've done a book a year, and they're on eight. I think they're on eight books. The ninth book is at the end of this year, which is Tierman's Wrath, I think it's called. That's going to be an interesting one, and I want to know what's happening to fucking Winston Duarte, because he's a very interesting character, and I can't wait to. I'd love to see him on TV. I don't think we're going to see him on TV because the last book kind of indicates a massive time jump to the point that they're all 50 and 60 odd.
30 odd year time jump to when Holden is near retirement.
Yeah, because they're retiring and Bobby gets put in charge. Spoiler warning, Bobby joins the crew of the Rosinante and she becomes captain and then fucks the ship up and gets it locked down in the first day, to which he finds...
She has been fucked up several times over.
Which he finds very embarrassing. First day on the job, she fucks up. So he got that there. Just a quick one. Thanks. So we did that. So lots of people signed the petition. I think it got to 135,000 signatures last time I looked.
Oh, no, it was beyond that, I think.
It's beyond that.
Well, I signed it, I think, within the first day, and it was already at 50,000.
I'll be honest with you. I've been on there, and I think we were doing a podcast last week, and it went up a couple of hundred during the podcast. Yeah. So it was a nice steady stream of people
and,
signing.
I mean, there's two... I read some books on Amazon. They are published in hardback, but you can't get them in the bookshops. It's called the X-Force series. And I follow two groups on Facebook there. One's called Skippy the Magnificent, and the other one is called X-Force. And both of them, for the last 2 weeks, haven't been posting anything about the new X-Force book coming out. It's all been about Save the Expanse. Whoever the guys are that are running these two groups are massive Expanse fans, because and they put one out today saying the Expanse has been saved, we'll get back to normal now. But yeah, I mean, it's just everybody loves the show that watches it. Trouble is, it hasn't... I don't know what it is. I mean, I think it's because Sci-Fi don't do sci-fi, which is kind of ironic. And they've basically cancelled anything that's decent. I mean, we ripped the piss out of Gareth for the show that he used to like on... did we ever take the piss out of you on this podcast, or was it...
Dark Matter.
Was it when we were...
No, it was this podcast, I'm sure it was.
Or was it the artist formerly known as...
No, it was the artist formerly known as Gaming Face Punch, actually, sorry.
Dark Matter was a much cheaper show than The Expanse, but it was good sci-fi.
Yeah.
They've cancelled anything... They've gone, okay, we're going to get back into doing sci-fi, ironically. No, they're called Sci-Fi Channel.
And the first two shows they put up were The Expanse and Dark Matter.
And they can, both of them. Yeah. And they were the best things they've done in fucking years.
Now, one of the reasons that they canned The Expanse is because the Alcon Group own 100% of the rights to The Expanse, which is great for a situation like this where it needs to be transferred over.
Yeah.
Because they can tell them, say, we own the rights, you can fuck off. Yeah, so there'll be no to-ing and fro-ing, where Dark Matter, I think, wasn't. I think it was entirely owned by Sci-Fi.
I hope now that it goes to Amazon that it's going to get more viewers. Is it on Amazon in the UK? Because it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix in the UK, not Amazon.
So if you've never seen this show, go and watch it. The first season is a bit slow going, but get through
it.
It looks high production, though. I mean, I've been watching the first season again. It does look high production. It does. You look at something like Star Trek Discovery that had all this fucking money spent on it.
Yeah.
Then you look at The Expanse and you go, hang on. Actually, these first few episodes of The Expanse, they look really, really good. And you're like, hang on, they don't cost nearly as much to make as Discovery does.
Do you want to hear something that really fucked me off when I heard The Expanse was cancelled? A couple of days after The Expanse was cancelled, they've decided to sell some sets, sold them to fucking Star Trek Discovery. It's just like, oh, Jesus Christ, it better not be the fucking Rosinante set. It's like the mouse... pleasure barge or shuttle, whatever, that can fucking go. Yeah, the Razorback needs to stay because the Razorback still will feature further in further stories.
And the Agatha King set they've reused for
this one. Yeah,
they just sort of changed the color. I noticed that the other day. That was the only thing. With the latest episode, they showed one. I can't remember the name of the ship, but it wasn't Agatha King.
Yeah.
But they showed the bridge of that, and it went, hang on, that's the same set they used on.
Well, it's the same fucking type of
spaceship. No, they said that the Agatha King was a really, really old ship, whereas this one was meant to be new. They said like
all the UN ships are supposed to be 80 to 70 years old.
But the TV series kind of leads you to think that the ship that they were on. See, here.
In the books, they always make it out that the Martians have
newer
the
tech.
Shiniest, not the newer, but the shiniest, most lovely technology that you could possibly.
They kind
want.
Of do. I mean, they have those awesome mech suits, and the Dollinger, from what you see of it, which is like one episode before it gets completely fucked, is quite a cool ship. Yeah. And we're about to see a shitload more Martian ships, so
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, we're going to see that, and let's talk about the last episode of Caliban's War, which it was episode 6 of the
series. Is my I have a theory. I'm not sure if it's correct or not, and if any of you know out there, tweet us and let us know. Those last two episodes of that stint, so the first 6 episodes, so the last two episodes of that block of 6 were just epic. In fact, it built. I mean, each episode just was a tad more awesome in this series.
Yeah.
And it just got to that thing. But then it felt very much like a season final.
Yeah.
I think they intended to have a break there. And I think from a... Because I knew what was coming, I wasn't. But for somebody who just watches the TV series, I think the next episode would have been a bit of an anticlimax, and I think we should have had a bit of a... Maybe a month or two's break.
It would have been a bit jarring, I admit, yeah. Because it is... Because what it is you're into a new novel.
Yeah, you are. Naomi, you know, is now on the Beermoth and has left the Rossi for now. And, you know, it felt like there was designed that there was going to be a break in time of actually viewing this, because a lot happened that you don't off camera. So UN president quits.
Yeah.
Old smoky voice gets is now president. I just felt this feels like a beginning of a season, a new season. This is like a season opener. This is what it feels like.
Yeah, but I can tell you one thing.
But
yeah,
I loved it. It was a good episode.
If it's going in the direction of the book, the end of season, you're going to make you shit your pants. It's going to be that fucking good. Because I've read the book and I know where they're going with this. And if they get to the, we'll call it the station, yeah? If they reach the station by the end episode, you're going to see some pretty fucked up shit.
I love the fact that they call it a Stargate. But, you know, I was hoping beyond hope that they weren't going to steal the Stargate effect, and they didn't. I quite like how at the end the Belter boy racer,
because
that's what he is. He's effectively a Belter boy racer, isn't he? Belter chav.
I'll be honest with you. If you cut out the episode and you just stick his story together, you've just got a really good short story there about a bloke who fucking races around planets for fucking glory. His girlfriend then cheats on him with his brother. Yeah. So he then decides to go and race into an alien gate at 100 meters per second, and then stop.
Well, you didn't know he was going to stop. And
I knew he was going to stop.
Oh, I knew he was going to stop.
I was watching it. Dexter's watching it, yeah? And it's like, he's going to stop, and it's going to be really bad. And then it happened. My son's watching it when it fucking happens.
Oh.
And I was like, ooh, that's a bit gruesome.
Let's just say his...
I thought he was going to snap his spine.
Is it? There's no way
to explain.
He explodes. He doesn't explode. His entire...
explodes forward like a
shotgun.
His
body is ripped forward.
Yeah.
So you're just left with this kind of like...
image.
You've got to watch it. I have to say, from a kind of sixth sense of thing, I watched it several times and it cracks me up.
Yeah.
But then I always do crack up at gore. But it's bloody gory.
It is. It's really cool. But this is the funny thing is, now he's hit that thingy, everyone's going to start racing to the portal. And a lot of people are going to get fucked because they hit the slow zone.
Do they go in slowly, though, now? Or do they...
They race.
But do they not know that you get...
Yeah, but no, remember, that guy was going at a fucking out-and-out pace. He's probably pulling about 10 Gs, yeah? They'll be going in about... 1 to 4 Gs, depending on the behemoth's going to be going at 1 G, so it's going to be relatively fine in comparison to the other ships that will be pulling 2 or 3, which will get destroyed. So a lot of the faster Martian frigates and corvettes will get fucked. The Earth ships will probably be fine, and then they get stuck, and then they'll get to see what it looks like on the other side, and that's going to be brilliant, and I can't wait for
that. Because there's then loads of other gates that they can go
1,400 and something.
Yeah.
That all lead to habitable worlds, though. The Protomolecular Aliens picked out habitable worlds. And then, the downside is, next season, which I think will probably wind up being delayed because of the changeover to Amazon, you're going to see Miller as a giant robotic crab, because Miller came back.
And yeah, I knew that was happening. I knew that was coming.
Yeah, Miller was coming back because that's the
Gareth got so excited. He's taking pictures of this, right? On his phone and sending me on his phone going, look.
The thing is, I sent you a picture of the guy who exploded and you can't make head nor tail of that fucking picture.
I looked at it and I did kind of know what... I thought I knew what it was going to be. And when I started watching it and it's that opening scene where he's going around the rings of Saturn, I went, okay, I know exactly who you are and I know what's going to happen to you. And it didn't disappoint. I was waiting for Miller, though. Miller is literally in the last 30 seconds of that. It's like, hang on, where the fuck is Miller?
But Miller keeps coming back because the protomolecule hasn't quite figured out the connections and stuff to do its so-called recreation of Miller.
The book is kind of... It's not... I think it kind of leaves it up to you.
No, no, he says, I'm not Miller. On in Chipola Burns, when he's walking around the ruins, he turns around and goes, I'm not Miller.
Yeah, but he is.
No, he's not.
I wonder if the TV series is going to go with that, because in the TV series, that like that final scene on Eros, when he finds Julie and he kind of bonds with her, it kind of implies that he becomes one with the molecule and therefore it kind of is him. But I think this is going to be kind of a philosophical debate.
For me, because my understanding of consciousness goes like this. Consciousness is attached to your body. It can't be separated.
Well, that's your... Yeah.
No, it can't be separated, full stop. Yeah? Seriously, if you separate your consciousness from you die...
But if you watch What's-Its-Face, what was the thing on Netflix where they download into different bodies...
Altered carbon. I still don't believe it's the pattern of the person you're copying, not the actual person. Yeah,
but that's a philosophical debate.
We haven't got time for that.
But
anyway, the previous episode, the one that ended Caliban's war, was I fucking loved it.
Phenomenal. I like the episode prior to that. I thought that this is really good. There was build up and.
The thing you don't understand, I've been poking Nigel with a stick so I can get him to catch up, and I've got the episodes downloaded, so the moment he catches up, I can give him the entire Series 3 so he can watch Series 3, because I want to talk to him about it, because I think he'd love that, because the catharsis in that whole episode, you had Prax finds his daughter.
Yeah, that was great.
Amos saves Prax from himself.
I love Amos. Amos in that episode, when he walks into that lift and Prax is trying to, is sort of fighting the urge to kill the doctor. And you're like, he deserves it, right? But you kind of think, no, you don't want to be the man that does that. And Amos just comes in, right? And I had a feeling Amos was going to come back.
Yeah.
And then you hear the line off screen. And Amos goes, you're not that man.
And you can see the hand go.
And I'll go, okay, I know exactly what Amos is going to say next. I know it. I know the next line. Right, and it's really predictable, but it's still such a satisfactory thing when he delivers that line. When Prax walks out with his daughter, and Amos just turns, the doctor goes, "Oh, thank you," and then you can word what Amos is gonna say. You know he's gonna say, "I am that guy," but the way he does it, the way he turns around and looks at the screen, and he's not, you see him looking at you, and he goes, "I am that guy." And then it just cuts to the external thing and the blood splatters against the thing.
It's the
bit... Oh, yes!
It's the bit... I'll be honest with you. It's the bit before that, yeah? Where... Because that's great cathartic bit when he kills him. But it's the bit before that where he introduces his daughter to him. And
this goes, is my best friend
in the entire world. And I'm like... Oh,
yeah, it was. It was
so sweet.
But then Amos reciprocates that...
By doing the...
In the next episode where the documentary bird walks in and he's making up the thing and he goes, oh, my best friend in the world, show me how to do this. Yeah. I was just like, oh.
That is.
Is it Amos has made a friend.
Amos, it's like, because Amos, Amos is.
He's less psychotic in the books.
I would describe him as more psychotic. The thing is that in the books, they describe him as looking like Groundskeeper Willie. He's balding with like red hair. Well, brownie red hair, they say.
Yeah, in this
season. But he sounds like fucking Groundskeeper Willie. That's just the bit that gets me. The guy who plays him was Chatham. Yeah, he used to be in the Navy as aircraft carrier fire chief before he became an actor, because Denzel Washington came on to the carrier to film some bits and went, has anyone got acting experience? To which he put his hand up and then went, you're up. And then that's when he started getting back into acting, which is good. I'm trying to remember. Oh, dude, he's got 9.6 triple point.
Well, it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Season 3 has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. So seriously, this show is where... You're obviously geeks. If you're listening to this podcast, you're obviously geeks. If you have never seen this, seriously, fucking watch it. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just trying to remember the this other guy's name.
Which one are we talking about?
Kotia. Because he was one. Avraceros' spy.
Ah, yeah. Kotia. I was so sorry when he got it.
It was... he doesn't get it in the books. He just disappears in the books.
Yeah, but he got it here. I mean, yeah. He blew up the Agatha King.
He blew up the Agatha King because that was like kind of, I was gutted because I like that character.
Yeah, I liked that character and I was gutted because I wanted him to survive. And he'd got all that way and you thought he was going to survive and then boom. Like, oh. But then of course they catch Mao and those last two episodes of that block of six were just fucking phenomenal.
But yeah, you had Death Courtier. You had Bobby getting a fucking own back on one of the protomolecule creatures, which was a kid. It's weird because in the book that kid, do you remember the second series where they go burst into the people where they're all eating pizza? In the book, they're with Pink Water Security trying to sort. I think it's Pink Water Security trying to sort it out. And outside that bit, that boy is dead there, and they've just left him there dead. Yeah. So when they burst in, because they look like cunts, I'll be honest with you, they burst in and they shoot him. Yeah. But in the thingy, when they burst in and shoot them, they're totally justified for shooting them, and you can understand Prax a bit better too for him freaking out. But then they put a dead body after. To try and do it, but it I think they should have put the dead body beforehand because you as an audience would have kind of gone with that. That's one time. That's a fucking microscopic criticism.
I mean, yeah, as I said, the only thing I can criticize for it for the moment, and it really isn't that much of a criticism, is just that the way they have constructed this, there should have been a break. Not from my point of view, because I knew what was coming, but for people that have never read the books, didn't have an idea of what was happening next, this latest episode is a bit of an anticlimax. It is.
No, because it shows you, so you see what you've seen the thing.
Yeah, but it's a reset. So you're getting into it,
It's been like 180 something days. So it's been like
187 days is since the gate was formed. But it had to get from the inner solar system to the external. So I would say it's been more near a year. Because it's got to travel right out to Uranus.
That's nothing for it. That's a 4-hour journey. Seriously, for that thing, that's a 4-hour journey. I remember how fast Eros was going.
Yeah, but they don't show that in the TV series.
You don't need to see that in the TV series. You just know that it's now...
You just saw... the only thing you really know of it is the end of the last episode where Amos is going, what the fuck is that?
I love that, because he's with the kids as he's pouring them cereal to try and keep them back being quiet. And he just goes, what the fuck is that? That was great. Another really good line in that one was the bit where Bobby's chasing down the protomolecule monster and Avasarala's going, no, don't be stupid, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, for the first time in your life, would you shut the fuck up? Yeah. It's so good. It's so good because it's annoying because the three of them, Avasarala, Kurtia, and Bobby, were a really, really good unit.
Yeah, they were.
They worked when all three of them came together, especially on Mao's ship.
Yeah.
They were great. As a fun video I'll show you after this, Keith, of someone puts together like a compilation of it and put like it in to make it really funny, and I really appreciate it. But The Expanse has been saved.
Yeah.
We've got plenty more episodes to talk about. It is... fucking brilliant.
Yep. Nope, there's no other way. I mean, seriously, 10 out of 10, and we very rarely give anything 10 out of 10.
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
This is awesome.
And as I said, I've been poking Nigel to watch episodes.
Nigel is watching it. Nigel was He's done the first series, so he's on second.
He finished off, he had one episode of Enter Badlands, which he finished off, and then he's going to go on to the rest of The Expanse.
Woohoo!
So he's going to do that, and then when he's done with that, I'll send him the episode so he can catch up on them, and then when they show on Amazon, I'll make him rewatch them because it's just good measure.
Yeah, we had a load of season finals recently. I was listening to the podcast that you guys did the other way. You watched Designated Survivor, so have they saved that? Has Netflix picked that up?
I don't think so.
Because there was rumour that Netflix were going to pick that up.
What they suffered from was... season one, first half, had one executive producer who had a vision.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Season two had a different executive producer who had a different vision. And then season two had the same problem. And then the second half of season two. And it's a fucking mess. It is like 24 without Jack Bauer.
Well, Jack Bauer's the president. But, it is a bit. But I was wondering if they picked that up because... What else has been saved?
Lucifer's got two bonus episodes.
Lucifer could still get picked up. There's rumours that's getting picked up. That might get saved, although I'm not sure.
I can only save one TV series at a time, guys.
What was the Brooklyn 999?
That got put saved within a day.
Yeah.
I got pissed me right the fuck off. Because like, Brooklyn like that sounds like shit to me. There's somebody like that. If you love it, you love it. I'm just being so stupid.
I'm just glad that somebody picked up on it. I'm still not sure who I would have preferred to pick up The Expanse had it been Netflix. I'm not sure.
But the reason
I know Netflix passed on it.
The reason they went for Jeff Bezos, yeah?
Because he loves it.
Well, it's the fact that every time Jeff Bezos demonstrates a Kindle device and he goes through his book library, one of the four books that show on it is Leviathan Wakes. So it's like, we think he likes the books. That might means he might like the TV shows. And he says he loves Leviathan Wakes. So, yeah, that's going to be good. It's annoying because the bits of the TV show I really want to watch, I don't think we'll ever get to retirement age, Holden and Naomi and that
I
lot.
Don't know, but look, we've got another season of it. No. And, you know, that very rarely happens. Because, you know, this is like Firefly, and they fucking canned that way too early.
And that's
Firefly never got saved. And
Social network, though, that's the problem with Firefly.
And yeah, but when they did, they brought it back with that movie, and that movie, to me, still bugs me.
I like that movie.
I like the movie, but they killed the pilot, and he's my favourite character. I love the pilot.
It doesn't make it. They killed fucking Wash. Book.
I can live with that, but they killed the pilot. I didn't like the fact that they killed the shepherd either, but because it to me was like a signaling that it was over. I loved the pilot.
The reason they killed the shepherd is because you finally figured out who he was before with the other character. I can't remember his name now, the English actor. When he was in Kinky Boots, that's all I can remember.
Oh, yes.
He played Dormammu, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, him. He was that. Well, that's who Book was before he became a priest. Did you not figure that out?
Yes, I had figured that out. Yes,
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
No, it's just remembering it. It's been a long time since I've seen Serenity, even though I'm a huge fan.
Okay.
Yes, talking of the pilot, that takes us neatly onto Deadpool 2, because he's cameos in Deadpool 2.
Yeah, but the
thing along is, with Matt Damon.
Yeah, but the thing is that's not supposed to be Matt Damon, because it's supposed to be Tucker and Dale. No, was it Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
Yes, but it isn't. It's Matt Damon.
It's supposed to be those two, though.
And actually, in fact, if you go and watch it again, you do. Now that you know it's Matt Damon, you went, oh, yeah, I can see it.
I was too. But, oh, look, it's Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it, Matt Damon.
Okay, so Deadpool 2. We both loved this, didn't we?
Yes, absolutely loved it. I wouldn't say it was as funny, because it doesn't assault you with jokes like the first one. The first one was like being hit by a machine gun. This is more like being hit with, you know, a rifle, a precision rifle given.
I think I was still laughing a lot. I mean, I was pissing myself laughing when I realised what the Celine Dion song was all about.
Do you know what the funniest song was in that? It was the theme for Juggernaut.
Oh, yes,
I
know.
It's going, holy shit, boss, it's the Juggernaut.
Yes.
I didn't, because I was listening to it, and it's like,
and that's available on the soundtrack. Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, why am I hearing? What do you think I'm hearing?
Yeah, you are.
An a cappella version of people saying, holy shitballs.
you did hear that. But, I mean, you said there wasn't much jokes in the first act. I'm still pissing myself laughing about the DC digs. There were several DC digs, including the Martha joke, which was fucking hilarious.
Does he yell Martha at Cable?
Yes, he does.
Stop? Okay, that's fine.
Yes, he does. That's when Cable's being him, he's going, Martha! It's brilliant. I mean, every opportunity he got, they dig at the DC Universe, and I'm fine with that.
I think DC will be fine, because it's free advertising.
Well, it's not really. It's still making them look, you know, the only decent movie they've got in their entire fucking list is Wonder Woman. I mean, I watched, or tried to watch, what's his face? Justice League on the plane home, right? The other way. I fell asleep twice.
Oh, dear.
It's just, it doesn't do it for me. It really doesn't. I'm sorry. I don't understand. I mean, I know that I was uber critical of Avengers, but my God, is that such a better movie than Justice League? I mean, although, in fairness, most movies are better than Justice League, but
yeah,
it's sad.
I did like the fact that they did Juggernaut justice.
Yes, they did.
Justice,
and I love the
justice
fact that,
for Juggernaut was done.
And I love the fact that they threw in that he was Professor X's, brother.
And the reason he wears the silly fucking helmet so he can't read his mind.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I had a lot of people getting pissed off with the Julian Dennison character. The little kid.
Really?
Yeah, and in reviews and stuff.
Well,
and
you know what it is, right? I've got this theory, and I'm sorry if you're from Down Under, please don't take this the wrong way. A lot of the reason that people had an issue with Star Wars Episode 2 was the Antipodean accent. And it does. It jars. And I think it's to do with the fact that you watch so many American and English movies that you're so used to an American and English accent. And when you get an Antipodean accent, you are thrown by it. Quite a bit. They bugged the shit out of me in Episode 2, and I don't know why. I've never been able to... One of the main reasons that always bugs me about Episode 2 is when they go to that fucking clone thing, and they're all fucking got Australian accents.
Well, it's more the fact that you've heard Stormtroopers talk, and you're expecting them to talk like Stormtroopers do, and they don't sound like...
And they've all got Aussie accents. So, you know, you really expect one of them to walk up, sorry for the thing, go, "And have a shrimp on the barbie, mate."
Oh, God.
And his accent in this is heavy. I didn't have a problem with it because I quite liked the kid. I thought the kid was funny. And I quite liked his entire story arc.
Yeah.
I thought the kid was funny. I thought the kid... But he does, at times, have a very heavy accent.
I love the fact that he was talking to Deadpool because he doesn't have fucking plus-size superheroes like that. And the thing with his... What is it? His prison wallet?
Yes.
That had me fucking in stitches. That kid did a really good job, I felt.
Oh, I thought he was brilliant.
As I said,
he wasn't irritating.
Yeah, that's the thing with Cheryl Hacks. As long as you don't irritate me, you win. That's all you have to do is just not irritate me.
You know what that is? That's the whole fucking Episode 1 Star Wars thing, isn't it? Yeah. Like, ever since then.
That's probably where it's come from,
It
actually.
Has come from that. It's where my hatred of most child actors has come from because of Episode 1. Because that kid was so... fucking irritating.
Didn't he go to jail?
Yes, he recently.
Oh God.
Recently, yeah.
That's a fucking yeah.
But we'll come back to Star Wars in a minute because we're going to talk about Solo. But no, I love Deadpool 2. I think it is a very much a worthy sequel. I liked the story. I loved what they did with X-Force. I loved the fact that my wife could go and watch it and didn't really need to understand everything that was going on. She was wetting herself at that X-Force bit. That whole thing. She was in fits. She did what a mate of mine used to do when he was laughing too hard. He would start hitting my arm. She was punching my arm. I came out with his dead arm because she was just in fits of laughter. And each death got more gruesome. It was funny. I knew what was going to happen. The minute TJ Miller's character went, "There's a wind warning," I kind of had a premonition of what was going to go on.
Yeah, because I love the fact that they all fucking bought it.
But it was Invisible, whatever his name was, Vanishing Guy or something.
Yeah, Vanisher.
Vanisher, that was it. I love that. I love the fact that they threw in a Brad Pitt cameo there. That was brilliant.
That was good. It was the fact that he assembled this team. Here's a conspiracy, yeah? Do you think that they all died because of Domino's luck?
Potentially. Potentially, yes.
That she caused the wind warning so she could land directly into the thing and she could get everything safe. And because of that, it in turn then killed the others. Because it's like one of those things which the universe kind of balances itself out.
But then, but even then when he's doing the chase and Deadpool's on the scooter, that was brilliant. That whole thing of, he's not in a fast car, he's not on a fast motorbike, he's on a fucking Vespa. It's so Deadpool.
Red Vespa, though.
It's so Deadpool. But yeah, you could be right, actually. That's a good point.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day. So, oh, yeah. That's something. I have another
thing. But I quite like Domino in this. She was good.
Oh, no, she was good. I'm not saying that she did it on purpose.
No, but I like... Yeah. I like talking of Domino. I liked her in this.
She went really well with those characters. So that was a good choice of casting, and they gave her a good, decent script. It was really weird because Megasonic Teenage Witch, whatever her name was,
Teenage witch or yeah.
Bitch. She didn't do anything in this, really.
Not really, no.
She looks really good in comparison to the first one.
Yeah.
She's taking care of herself, but she didn't do anything apart from she had a Chinese girlfriend with pink hair.
Was she Chinese or Japanese?
Japanese, Chinese, I don't know. I don't know.
No, she doesn't do a lot, does she? She does at one point.
Yeah.
Because they take down... She does help to take down Juggernaut.
Yeah, but Colossus does most of that fucking work.
Yeah, but without them, Colossus would have lost that. Colossus was getting his ass handed to him.
Do you know who's like funny? Do you know who the voice of Juggernaut was?
Ryan Reynolds.
Do you know why?
Because they couldn't afford... I told you this. I told you this. They run out of budget and couldn't afford to get an actor in to do the voice. And because Ryan Reynolds had already recorded the voice for acting, for when they were acting against the CGI character, they just used his voiceover.
Yeah,
that's...
I love it when he first meets him, just grabs him and just rips him in half. And it's like, that's...
Yeah, but then it's Deadpool's comment, never meet your heroes. He's like, you're my hero. And he just rips him up, never meet your heroes.
Because I'd love to see Juggernaut versus the Hulk. That'd be just one fucking awesome
fight.
Yeah,
but that might not now happen. Cause...
Oh, Comcast. Thanks, Comcast.
Well, we don't know yet, because the rumour is that Disney are not overly... or Fox are not overly happy with doing a Comcast deal. Mm. But it's what the shareholders really ultimately thing. But
I think they could probably make a deal for some
of Marvel.
A lot
of people banging on about, I really wanted to see the Fantastic Four in the MCU. I really wanted to see the Fantastic Four. Okay, there were some interesting comics for the Fantastic Four, but the movies have really put me off them, and I don't need another reincarnation of it. I know we've had it with Spider-Man, but
hang on a second. This is the thing with the Fantastic Four. I always saw the Fantastic Four as a bit shite.
Yeah.
Throughout its entire run, to the comics that I got hold of when I was really young, to the cartoon series that I watched when I was very young, to the films that I watched, and I always accepted that they were a bit twee and not so.
I mean, he stretches. I mean, you know, what the Flash has done this season with Ralph has been really good, but at the end of the day, he stretches. There's only so much you can do with that, and I like how the Flash has played it a bit tongue in cheek with him. It doesn't work in the MCU.
Oh, I watched this brilliant video from a guy called Comic Historian, where he explains that Iris West ruins season 4.
Iris West ruins most seasons.
He explained to her, because what it was, right, is you've got all these people. She's in charge of the team because they didn't know what they put her in the thingy. Instead of making her a detective going out and finding like a side story or something with shit that DeVoe was doing, which would have been more interesting, they decided to put her in charge of the team. Yeah, and because they put her in charge of the team, let's have a look. We have someone who isn't qualified. She was a blogger. She wrote for a newspaper. And she was a waitress. There are qualifications. Next to Cisco, who is a badass engineer, can vibe and has his own powers. Caitlin, who's got fucking metahuman abilities, which may predate the fucking explosion. Yeah. And it's got a biology degree and a doctorate and all these other things. Then you've got Joe, yeah, who is he's a detective, yeah, who's had a lifetime of crime enforcement, yeah, who has led people when it comes to like doing raids and stuff, yeah.
And you've got Iris.
And then you've got Iris, and you've put her in charge.
I know.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. If you had her and she was like reading books, like every opportunity she got to try and figure out how to lead people or how to improve herself and stuff like that. If you'd have seen bits like that, you may have bought it a bit more. Because I was trying to think, how could you fix this? Yeah? And you can't.
Well, the season final, I think, might make season 5 interesting.
Well, it's only because, was it the door?
Nora Allen turns up.
Yeah.
But there's going to be another big bad. But talking of accents, you know, Marley's.
Yeah.
You know, she's South African. If you hear her talk in real life, she has got a proper South African accent. And they made her talk English.
I thought she was South African. She sounded
South
African. Yeah,
because there are bits. If you go back and watch it again, there are bits where her English accent breaks.
I thought they were both South African.
I don't think he was.
Sure, he's South African. Because I thought originally I thought the story was they met up in South Africa.
Yeah, but I don't think... She doesn't have a heavy South African accent.
Okay.
It breaks at places, but she doesn't really. It's okay. Mostly English. But the season final was all right.
No.
I kind of liked the Matrix tribute. Yeah. Have you seen it?
No, Matrix tribute.
They go into
Thinker's brain.
And then there's gazillions of them, and he saves Ralph.
Yes.
At least Ralph's back.
Yeah.
I like Ralph. I know there's a lot of Flash fans out there that don't like Ralph. Well, I'm one of the people.
Can we
that
get
like
rid
him.
Of Iris first?
Yeah, seriously. Ralph is such a better character. And oi, oi, feminist. It's not because he's a man. It's not because she's a woman. She's just fucking irritating.
Because we love Caitlin.
We love Caitlin.
Caitlin's great. We don't want to go. There's rumours that.
We love Felicity. Bring in Felicity. Felicity can run the group.
Yeah, Felicity can run the group because she's got fucking experience with the Arrow group. It's annoying because the guy who plays Cisco was talking about leaving.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so
no.
I'm hoping that they amend the Iris problem. Make her...
Cisco. He's my favourite character.
Yeah, he's everyone's favourite.
I don't want to be Barry. I want to be Cisco. Cisco's awesome. Cisco's a geek.
See, the other thing too, which is really annoying, is the story isn't about the Flash. I mean, it should be about the Flash. And it's like you watch that first series where it's all about the Flash and it's great. And then when it starts branching out, and it's like, I'll be honest with you, it's okay with just Caitlin and Cisco. Yeah?
Yeah.
But any further than that, I think it was...
Iris is just annoying. I like having Harry Wells. I like how they give us different characters, different Wellses. And there's going to be a new one in season 5. I like that. But yeah, you're right. Get rid of her. Seriously, she's just annoying.
Replace the actress with a better one, like me.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, the character is irritating.
The character is terrible. And it doesn't make any sense. And the guy, this comic story guy, said he was watching parts of the episode where Caitlin and Cisco would explain something. And then all Iris would do is just repeat back what they said.
You see, you look at Arrow and you look at Felicity and Oliver. Felicity and Oliver work. They work, and you buy Felicity, you like Felicity, you get, you know, okay, she does hacking stuff that if you know anything about, it's a load of bullshit, but that's Hollywood, that's not the character. Felicity's not annoying. I like Felicity, I think she's one of my favourite characters in Arrow. I like Felicity a lot. I can't stand Iris West.
No, I think I do genuinely.
I love Joe.
Joe's great. Great.
And I love Wally. I like Wally. I'm glad that they put Wally in Legends.
Yeah, I got annoyed with the way they treated Wally. I think that was back down to fucking Iris West again because Wally, especially at the beginning of the series, had developed into the Flash to replace Barry.
Yeah.
And the bit where they come across the fucking samurai creep, the samurai robot at the beginning, and he starts talking Japanese to it. And it's like, when did you learn Japanese? It's because he's like a speedster. He could learn it in an evening. Yeah. And then another bit where the person that had diabetes and he found the insulin, he goes, look for the pump and we pull the pump or do something with the pump. He showed that he'd been learning. He demonstrated, he showed applied knowledge to fix things. And they treated him like shit.
Well, yeah, but they brought him into Legends, which is good.
Yes, and hopefully they'll have, what's his mush?
Constantine.
Yes.
Yeah, I know he is, isn't it? Because they've all now been renewed and Constantine has been signed up as a season regular. But Rip's not dead. Rip's coming back.
Is he? Yeah. On another note, Deadpool. It's a really good film. Go watch it.
We've digressed quite a lot. But
the end of the third act, sorry, the end of the end of the second act, beginning of the third act, has the funniest fucking set of humour in it that you'll see anywhere. And a Sharon Stone moment, which will make you go, oh my God, no.
That was so funny.
And they do.
You hurt after this movie in a good way because you've laughed so much. And if you're not hurting when you come out of this movie, you need to get yourself checked out because I defy you not to laugh at this film. It is very funny. And the Marvel style end credits things, which really are not, they're mid-season, there's nothing after them. Watch them. They are quite possibly some of the best scenes in any movie ever. They're just fantastic. They're brilliant.
Okay. Uncle Ethan. I'm going to call him Uncle Ethan from YouTube. It's great. There's a comic book pro artist called Ethan Van Sciver. Scriver, sorry, not Skyver. He loved it because he said, "I've got a quarter of a decade's experience in the the comic book industry." Where he went, "No, I meant to say century, a quarter century experience." He's been taking a piss out of Star Wars for quite a bit, and he refers to Solo as Soylo, a soy war story. So, how was your soy-based entertainment?
Right. Okay. Solo is... How's that?
Yeah, it's fine.
Anyway, so Solo is... Yeah, I went into this movie with very little expectations. I had followed what had happened with the two brothers and being replaced by Ron Howard. But I also went in with an inkling of hope because Rogue One was a really good, really good movie. It wasn't just a good movie, it was a damn good Star Wars movie. And it didn't have any Jedi in it, and it didn't need it. I went into this knowing that this wasn't a movie that we really asked for. It wasn't. Nobody was that interested in Han Solo's backstory. We love him as a character. I mean, I'm first to admit he's still my favourite character in all of it because he's a pilot and a bit of a rogue, and that I like that far more than whiny, bitchy Luke Skywalker. But I was apprehensive about this. But I tried to sort of lower my expectations as much as possible. And actually, I had a lot of fun. Now, I went back to the cinema that I first went to as a kid. So I went to an Everyman cinema, and there's where I live.
No, that cinema is not the same as when you were a fucking kid.
No, the Isha one is.
The Isha one is?
Oh, God, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's still got the same clocks above the fire exits, right? I was like, they were there. How many? Oh, my God, it's 30-something years ago. You realise this cinema is... I was coming here 30 years ago, and it's still got the same sort of side bits and everything. They've done up the back of it, and they've given it a lick of paint, but it's the same bloody cinema. So there was kind of a bit of a nostalgic feeling, and Everyman cinemas are a bit different to your standard cinemas. One, you can have a beer. Two, they bring shit to your chair. And two, we're in a sofa with a cushion and a kickstand. It's beautiful. Anyway, so that added to it. But yeah, it was a fun movie. It's a fun film. There is some criticism of it. There's a female droid character played by the person that was supposed to play the Doctor, the one that all the bookies were saying was going to be the Doctor.
I can't remember.
Do you know who I mean, though? I can't
Not
remember.
Tilda Swinton?
No.
If they're going to play female Doctor.
No, it was the comedian. It was the other one that right towards the end, they were all saying was going to be the Doctor.
Oh, God, no.
And then it turned out to be Jodie Whittaker. Anyway, she is the voice of this droid. And this droid is fucking irritating. I mean, she's banging on about droid rights and droid freedoms. And at some point, it almost sounds like she's about to join the Me Too campaign. It gets really, really political. That whole arc is a bit annoying, and spoilers, people, when she gets fucked up, you kind of cheer.
Does she get fucked up?
Oh, she gets fucked up.
Does she get destroyed?
She gets destroyed.
Yes. Oh, now you've given me a reason to watch the film, Kay.
She gets fucked up.
Seriously, you've given me a reason to watch the film.
she buys it. She she gets it. Oh, that's it.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Oh, she looks like a loon.
She was lined up to be the Doctor at one point. Heavily rumoured to be.
She's got crazy.
But apart from that, it's fun. I loved Han and Chewie for first meeting. It's really, really funny. It's quite good because... it's the only bit that really features anything of the Empire. This is the other thing. The Empire, for once, isn't the bad guys. I mean, even in the prequels, which we rarely talk about, it's still really the Empire. It's still Sidious. And, okay, it's the Droid Federation and all that bullshit. But this was something entirely different. The bad guys were the criminal underworld, which I found really quite interesting. And Paul Bettany's character, he's quite sinister. And it's a really kind of dark in that respect. And the movie that you see now, you kind of see why they brought Ron Howard in, because had this, if this was the same script that, that What's His Face's brothers were making, this would not have worked as a comedy.
Well,
a 100% comedy.
They were ad-libbing lines and stuff, so.
And it wouldn't have worked because
you don't know until you see it.
No, I don't think it would have, because the story, there are some emotional undertones here that that deserve the service that they got, and I don't think that would have worked as a comedy. So the I can't remember Emily Clark's character. If that had been comedic, the ending to that wouldn't have worked as well. It's almost a tragedy with her. She doesn't die or anything, but it's almost a tragedy with the way her character plays out. And that wouldn't have worked as a comedy. Woody Harrelson's character, again, that is a really important character, and it's a very important moment for Han Solo, because Han Solo shoots first.
Yeah.
And it's important because I've seen a lot of reviews saying, oh, he's still the same Han Solo as he was at the beginning of the movie. He's not the Han Solo that you meet, the cold sort of roguish smuggler that you see in the first part of Star Wars. And then he has that journey to becoming a rebel. Well, he kind of is at the end of that. And I don't know what movie they saw, but you watch that final scene in the movie where he kills Woody Harrelson's character. That is dark. And that is very much so Han shoots first, and he does. He then runs after over to him to sort of, you know, hug it out, even though he's just shot him. But it's that is a character defining moment. And again, not sure that would have worked as a 100% comedy. This movie is a lot of fun. It's very light.
The big question that I is on my lips, about this film, is this an appearance by a certain. Hang on a second! Don't interrupt me. A certain plump, kind of greyish brown kind of character. You know who I'm talking about, the one that's a big one. Roast Tico, is she in it?
No.
I'm sorry. I was describing her in a fucking boiler suit as best as I could.
No, she's not in it. My wife was upset because BB-8 wasn't in it, and she loves BB-8. But the train heist is good. When he first meets Chewie, there's a bit where the Imperial guards go, throw him in the pit, and he can take on the beast. And he's thrown down into this dark, because Star Wars loves a good pit, don't they? They love a good pit.
Yeah.
It's not a Star Wars film if we don't have a good pit in it. So Han's thrown into this pit. And at first, you think it's going to be the same monster that was in
The Rancorn.
You think it's a Rancorn. And then you just see this foot. And even before you saw the foot, I went, no, no, no. And I just went, Chewie, like that, to my wife. And my wife went, what? And then you see, it's a very wet, muddy Chewbacca. And Chewbacca just fucking lays into him and starts beating the shit out of him, right? Until Han just goes, like that. And then you get, for the first time ever in a Star Wars movie, subtitles of Wookiee speak. And he's talking fucking Wookiee to the guy. And it's great, because then Chewbacca is still being a bit stupid. And Han realises that if Chewie carries on hitting him, they'll knock something out, a pole that's keeping up the top of the thing. So Chewie goes like that at him. And Chewie starts beating, and then gets frustrated because he's beating the metal part. And Han sort of steps back, but they can't see. He's going, until he just picks up Han and throws him at his metal part. And the thing disintegrates. They all fall down, and it cuts to above the thing. And then you just see Han thrown out of the fucking thing. And that whole thing, meeting, is really quite good.
So it features a Kessel Run, yeah.
And then you get to the Kessel. The Kessel Run is because they need to smuggle this unrefined energy stuff.
It's fuel for the fucking fleet, which they could have used in Last Jedi.
Yeah, it's fuel. It is effectively fuel, but it's unrefined. So they have to get it from where the Kessel mines to the refinery very quickly, or it goes kaboom. And this is the kind of thing. So this is the mission they're doing for the criminal underworld, because Han, the train heist goes wrong, effectively, and they're in debt. And Han Solo, honourable side and wanting some money, goes with Woody Harrelson's character, even though they didn't know Han was involved, to say, very sorry, but we'll try and steal it again for you. And then it's the Kessel Mine raid. So they raid the Kessel Mine and they get this stuff, but they got to get it very quickly. And nobody's ever done the Kessel Run in under 18, whatever it is. And Solo does it in 12.
Parsecs, which are a measure of distance.
Yeah, but watch it, and they explain why. I mean, it's actually, again, quite...
Does he skip past a black hole?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Well, no, he doesn't. There's a path that you have to follow through. Hence the reason why it's 18 parsecs. Because there's a path that goes through this kind of nebula thing, right? And it's quite cool effects. And they, if they go and follow the path, they aren't going to get to the refinery in time. So Han just goes straight through the wall of this shit, comes up against some huge space squid, which then gets flushed into a kind of binary star thing, black hole, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But that's when they shoot out the safety pod. So you know how the front of the thing, well, the escape pod buys it at that point. Then the ship, because it's trying to escape... Yeah. Loses all its bright shiny shit and gets completely fucked up. You go, there's the hunk of junk we all know and love. And then by the time it comes into the refinery, it's lost one of its landing gear, so he just smacks into the desert floor. It's like, yep, that's the Millennium Falcon. And then there's a little bit there and there, and the movie finishes with Han winning the Millennium Falcon in the card game. But it's fun. It's a good film.
Okay.
Look, put it this way. You put this film up against The Last Jedi, you're going to go, Last Jedi, shit, this is quite fun.
Okay.
Because you go in with it with no expectations. You go in with it... It's not like... Last Jedi, the more I watch it, the more it makes me fucking angry. The more I just want to go and punch Rian Johnson for being an arrogant twat bag, thinking that no Star Wars fan wants to know where What's-His-Face came from. We all do. You've set this story up... Fucking explain it. We're Star Wars fans. We're not thick. God, every time I can't watch The Last Jedi, it makes me angry now. It makes me angry.
It's so many things wrong with that film.
It's... Oh.
There are so many things wrong with that film.
But I went in this and I got the Star Wars movie I wanted, which was fun. I mean, at the end of the day, what do we go to the cinema for? We go to be entertained. We go for a bit of fun, a bit of escapism. This did all three. It's brilliant in that respect. Is it the best movie in the world? No. Is it the best Star Wars movie in the world? No. Is it fun? Yes.
Okay. I think it's time we let Nigel have a quick chat.
Oh, mate. It's me. It's Nigel. I'm not going to be able to make a podcast. Something's happened. It's my cat's older brother's relative dog who's been sick, and they had puppies with a cat, and I don't know what they are, but I've got to take them to a vet, and I'm really sorry, and I'm really not well with the kids. They can't see it, and I've got to do that sort of right now. Oh, and there's one thing as well. I'm kind of allergic to deep booming type sound that comes out of a certain area of someone's mouth, and you've heard of white noise, but this sort of turns it into more of a brown noise, and I can't really listen to it, and I'm very sorry, but yeah, I've heard this. Just can't sort of come, and really, if I see that man, baby Keith, and see you later. Bye.
All right, Nigel, shut the fuck up now. We're talking. The big boys are in the room. And
literally.
And we are big boys. Fatter than I should be.
No comment.
It's all around my gut, though. So I look really fucking weird.
It's all around me, just full stop. Anyway.
It's like Jabba the Hutt. Gareth, remember to insert Jabba the Hutt noise now.
Anyway, oh yeah, and you know why he gets his name Han Solo in the movie as well. And that's really funny.
Couldn't he have his name beforehand?
No, he had the name Han, but not Solo. It's good.
It doesn't
it's funny.
Make any sense, because Solo indicates that he'll it be does. On his own, but he's with a fucking Wookiee.
No, he's not. It makes sense. Again, it makes sense. You have
not,
to I'm, break your bond and go and watch
no,
it.
No, I'm not. I'm done. They're not having any more money out of me for fucking Star Wars unless it's in a bargain bin somewhere.
Go and watch
it. I'm serious. Yeah, because all you're doing is you're funding the next disappointing Star Wars film.
But this one wasn't.
You're funding the next disappointing Star Wars film.
Episode 9 is going to be, but the standalones might not be. That, I'm serious. Standalone movies have been quite good.
This is the weird thing, yeah? Disney bought Lucasfilm knowing that Star Wars was a serialized space opera, yeah?
Yeah, but they also had an expanded universe.
Hang on a second. Hang on. So instead of using the fact there's a serialized space opera to produce something, yeah? They should have produced like one film every 2 years to make it special.
Yes.
Doing the one film every year, and this one here is taking the fucking shine off it. Because I think if it doesn't make $300 million in the box office in the first week, it's lost money.
It probably won't.
Remember they've had to reshoot 80% of that film.
It probably won't make that. But at the end of the day, the standalone Star Wars movies have been better. And I like Rogue One, and I like this. It's worthy of a Star Wars title. It is definitely worthy of that. And the people that are critical of this and things like that, a lot of the reviews, you just hear them banging on about certain things. You go, you missed the point of this. It's just a fun film. And at the end of the day, the first three were fun films. And they were great popcorn movies. This is a good popcorn flick. And in that respect, it does it. Is it just a money spinner for Disney? Potentially. But it's way... When you put it up against things like the three prequels, the two Disney episodes, it's just better and fun. As I said, it's just...
It's just soy-based entertainment.
No, it's not.
It's soy boy entertainment for soy boys.
It's this definitely.
Let me just check. You got a round face like a soy boy. You got a round face like a soy boy.
I would agree with you about episode 7 and 8, and I really think episode 9 will be crap as well. But this was all right. This was good.
Okay, I will wait for it to come out on Netflix.
There's quite a few Rebels nods in there again with Darth Maul. I mean, that was epic. That was epic. Maul turning up with the voice and being played by what's his face again?
Peter Serafinovich.
No, the voice
and
is
Ray Park as the
and Ray Park as the
Darth Maul himself.
Yeah, that looking quite a bit older, and they did age him a bit. Although he has aged since 19... Whatever it was.
1998? Oh, no, he would have filmed it in 98, though.
So, yeah, he has aged a bit, but it works. It does work.
It's soy-based entertainment, and soy-based entertainment...
But it's Darth Maul...
Gay.
Going
That's
to
not even gay,
take
feminine.
It down a... you know, there's going to be a re-fight match between Maul and Obi-Wan, and it's going to be awesome.
We know
and
that Obi-Wan's going to win.
Yes, but that movie potentially could feature a cameo from Ezra Miller, because Ezra Miller was on Tatooine when that shit started.
Yeah, I know. What I'd like is to see a Luke Skywalker trilogy of what happened after the fucking Empire.
And you're not
film.
Done with Star Wars, because at some point Rebels is going to have some kind of sequel. And the live-action series that Disney are going to put out potentially could be quite good.
No, I'm done. I'm done with Star Wars, man. Seriously, I've got much better things to watch. Seriously.
Yeah, okay. When you've got the likes of The Expanse, I get it. But it's a fun movie. And it's good escapism. And I'm a Star Wars fan.
Okay. All right, you soy boy.
Just because I live in Asia.
Soy turns you feminine.
I am not... I had a fucking argument with my wife earlier, right? Because
your wife says you're feminine.
No. It's like we went to the pub for a lunch, right? And there was obviously some kind of student reunion going on. They were obviously just gone into. They're all 20 something fucking snowflakes, and there was a guy, right, standing there, and he had white and sort of turquoise trainers, and then those really skin tight black jeans that look like leggings. There is no other way to say it. He looked like a transsexual. I'm asking, it's fashion. Yeah, it's fucking gay.
I'll be honest with you, it's not even gay. It's just not right. It's feminine.
I was like, darling, this is the problem with the world. They're all becoming snowflakes. They're all so in touch with their fucking emotions that we get stupid shit going on in the world at the moment. I promise not to get political, but fuck! So compared to that, no, I am all man.
So and let me just
and a lot of it.
Just because you couldn't be calm and rational there, You sounded a bit emotional, and you're a bit chaotic.
Fuck off!
Which is signs of femininity, as far as I'm concerned.
You're such a cock.
Which makes you a soy boy. You've been in Asia, soy boy. I bet your testicles are shrunk. You thought it was the heat. It's the soy, mate. You've got soy boils. He has. He's become more feminine. I'm joking. I'm looking at his beard. Yeah, it's not as big as it was.
That's because I just trimmed it this morning, you bastard. I'm going to a wedding.
it's all the soy. He's going to come back. I bet you. I'm going to check his recordings against his previous recordings to check the octave in his voice to see if it's gone up a level.
You're going to make it's go not... up. He's cutting and mixing the podcast out. So if I sound suddenly feminine, it's a sound effect that this bastard's put on there.
I would never do that.
Yes, you
much.
Fucking would. And I've done it in the bus. Yes, you fucking would.
Okay. All right. And on that note, it's time to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And you will hear from us in the next podcast. Don't eat too much soy, boys. All right? Just don't. It's not worth it. All right? You think you're starting to save weight and whatnot? Go to almond milk instead. It's much better for you. Okay?
Soy milk.
See ya.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.